You know, gold and silver have outperformed the S&P 500 for the past 25 years, for the, you know, so far in this century. All kinds of positive things are happening for precious.
You're watching Silver News Daily. Subscribe for more.
The entire financial system is quietly bleeding out, and no one's sounding the alarm. For decades, investors profited off a hidden engine powering global markets, the yen carry trade. But that engine is now reversing, violently. Liquidity is vanishing, currencies are destabilizing, and a tidal wave of margin calls is about to flood the global economy. The elite know what's happening. That's why they're already fleeing to hard assets. But while most eyes are on gold, it's silver that's gearing up for the most explosive move we've ever seen. The cracks are everywhere. Japan's interest rates have surged from 0% to nearly 2%. That might sound small, but it's enough to detonate trillions in borrowed capital. As the trade unravels, high-yield bets are being abandoned, dollars are being dumped, and panic is beginning to grip the markets. Every unwind drains liquidity. Every unwind pulls more risk from the shadows. And every unwind drives more fear and more money into physical silver. The world's fiat currencies are failing. Every central bank is cornered. And now, the BRICS nations are launching a gold-backed challenge to the dollar itself. The stage isn't being set for another correction. It's being set for a reset. And when that panic wave crests, silver's breakout won't just break $50. It won't stop at $60. It could go vertical. $500 silver might sound extreme, until you realize it's the logical response to the chaos already in motion. So if you're wondering how silver could possibly explode that high, stay with me. Because the unraveling has already begun, and the real move hasn't even started yet.
The U.S. Fed started easing almost 2 years ago. And in that time, long-term interest rates in the U.S., which should go down when the Fed is easing, right? They've gone up, which means the bond markets do not trust the Fed to maintain the value of the dollar. And so they don't think it's a good investment to lend money to the U.S. government for only like 3% or whatever. So they're requiring higher interest rates in order to lend to the U.S. government. So yeah, it's kind of the same thing that's happening in Japan. And it's basically the same thing that's happening to all the major governments of the world, with just a couple of exceptions, like Russia and Switzerland right now. But everybody's in the same boat. They borrowed way too much money. Because, you know, again, to go back in time, China was the engine that pulled the world out of the Great Recession. And they quintupled their debt in order to do that, and engineered their own real estate bubble. So, yeah, now China's feeling the effects of that. Their real estate bubble has come back to bite them, and they're not free to borrow like they did in the past. And Japan took over with the yen carry trade. But these are temporary things. You know, you can do it for a few years, or in Japan's case, a decade or more, but you can't do it forever. And when the thing stops working, there's really no fix, because once people have figured out that you're kind of running a scam, they don't trust you anymore. So, well, you mentioned the BRICS countries too. That's something that I meant to mention to you before we went live, but forgot. But they finally released their gold-backed currency, because that's something the BRICS countries have been buying lots of gold for years and years. And you know, people have been speculating that, oh, they're doing that so they can create a gold-backed currency that operates separately from the dollar. And then a lot of other people have said, nah, they're never going to do that. That's not something that is ever going to make sense for them. But they kind of sort of just did it. They released a currency called the unit, or they introduced a currency called the unit that is 40% backed by gold and 60% backed by a basket of BRICS country currencies. So it's not all the way to a rock-solid gold standard, but that's a viable currency for them to use for trading within the BRICS coalition. So that's the start of something that could become a much bigger deal going forward. And it's one of the reactions that financial players in the world have when countries destroy their currencies. You know, you get other countries trying to cope with the fact that you're messing up your currency by avoiding dealing with your currency. So that's what's happening with the dollar. And the BRICS countries are taken together pretty big. They've got massive natural resources. and a fair bit of financial clout. So that, again, you know, like the yen to carry trade being a real thing that we need to pay attention to, the BRICS new currency is also a real thing that might be a big deal in 2026, might be something that that plays a role in the unraveling of the global financial system.
The yen carry trade wasn't just a clever strategy. It was the heartbeat of global liquidity. For years, investors borrowed ultra-cheap yen in Japan, converted it into higher-yielding currencies, and pumped that capital into everything from tech stocks to emerging markets. It was easy money on a massive scale. But now, that game is over. With Japan's 10-year bond yield surging to nearly 2%, the cost of borrowing yen has exploded and the once lucrative trade has turned toxic. What does that mean? A global wave of forced unwinding, hundreds of billions, even trillions, being yanked out of risky positions and dragged back home to safety. This isn't just a Japanese problem. As capital flows reverse, they drain liquidity from every corner of the global financial system. The sudden tightening is already being felt in currency markets, where volatility is spiking and the dollar is wobbling. Hedge funds and institutions are de-risking at scale, selling off assets to cover leveraged positions. That's not just a market correction, it's a slow-motion crash in liquidity. And in this kind of environment, trust becomes scarce. Investors begin dumping paper for tangible value, bonds get sold, equities fall out of favor. And silver? Silver becomes the escape hatch. Unlike stocks or real estate, silver doesn't rely on credit conditions to hold its value. It thrives when money gets tight. And that's exactly what's happening. As the carry trade collapses, the capital tide is rushing out, revealing who's been overexposed, overleveraged, and completely unprepared. It's exposing fragilities across banks, currencies, and entire national economies. And in that kind of landscape, capital flees to safety, and it flees fast. This is why silver isn't just reacting to technical levels. It's responding to systemic fear. Because once liquidity disappears, confidence is the next thing to vanish. And in a world where money itself is starting to look like a bad bet, silver's appeal is becoming undeniable.
Just before we get going, we just launched the official Silver News Daily Telegram. To kick things off, we're running a 10-ounce silver giveaway. Yes, real physical silver, not a voucher, not digital credits, actual bullion. This Telegram will be our new home for real-time silver discussions, market insights, collection picks, and everything precious metals. It's where the community truly comes alive. Here's how to enter the 10-ounce silver giveaway. Be subscribed to Silver News Daily on YouTube. Turn on the notification bell. Comment 10-ounce giveaway on 3 separate videos. Be an active member of the Telegram group and say hi. Once we hit 500 active Telegram members, we'll pick one lucky winner to receive 10 ounces of silver shipped directly to you. So get in early, stay active.
Yeah, one last expansion on what you just said. The Japanese central bank has kind of been like a global central bank running QE, in other words, feeding liquidity into the whole global economy. And so, yeah, like you said, that allows for massive misallocation of resources. You know, there's so much malinvestment out there that was based on the fact that Japanese yields were zero. And now that they're not zero anymore, that misallocation is going to become obvious when people try to unwind the positions. So again, we have no idea what the names are going to be, but somebody's in big trouble out there. And like Warren Buffett likes to say, only when the tide goes out do you find out who's been swimming naked. There's lots of naked swimmers out there right now, thanks to the yen carry trade. And you know, it's potentially a really big deal.
As the financial system shakes and liquidity vanishes, a predictable pattern is already unfolding. Capital is rushing into safe havens. But this time, there's a twist. Yes, gold is catching the early bids, as it always does, but it's silver that's starting to steal the spotlight. Historically, silver lags gold during the initial phase of a panic, then surges with violent acceleration once fear reaches critical mass. And right now, that moment is rapidly approaching. Investors are waking up to the fact that silver isn't just a monetary metal. It's a chaos hedge. And in times like these, chaos is the only thing in abundant supply. What we're seeing now is a full-blown rotation. As central banks fumble and currencies wobble, institutional and retail investors alike are pulling out of risk-heavy assets and pouring into physical metals. But silver isn't just keeping up with gold. It's outperforming. The reason? Its smaller market size and dual demand profile. Silver is both a monetary refuge and an industrial workhorse, meaning it catches flows from both sides of the panic equation. As fear rises, so does the bid for tangible stores of value. And silver, being vastly more affordable than gold, becomes the go-to for average investors trying to escape the fiat fire. Add to that the growing distrust in central bank narratives. Every rate cut, every emergency intervention, every bailout only deepens the public's suspicion that something is deeply broken. And when that suspicion turns into action, it turns into buying. And silver demand begins to spike. Dealers across North America and Asia are already reporting surging premiums on physical silver. COMEX inventories are dropping. And in a world starved for trust, silver is starting to look like one of the few things left that actually holds value. This is the early phase of the safe haven stampede. Gold leads. Silver follows. But once silver gets going, it doesn't just catch up. It launches past expectations. That's why the biggest moves in silver happen after fear takes hold. And if what we're seeing right now is only the beginning, then the real explosion is still ahead.
Yeah, to understand this thing, which is it is a pretty big deal, we have to go all the way back to the 1990s when Japan had a massive real estate bubble, really bigger than our real estate bubble of the 2000s. And it was potentially catastrophic for the Japanese economy. So the Japanese government ramped up spending and pushed interest rates down to extremely low levels. So ever since, the Japanese government has run big deficits and its debt has piled up to the point that that government is the most indebted government on a per capita basis in human history. And so ever since, they've kept interest rates extremely low in order to allow them to finance their debt. But what that also allows is for financial players from around the world to go to Japan and borrow yen at super low interest rates. Then they take those yen and they go to someplace like the US and invest them, or, you know, cash them out and invest them in, say, treasury bonds that are yielding 3 or so percentage points more. And then they make the spread. They do it with leverage. So it's an incredibly profitable thing to do. But it only works as long as two things are true, that the yen doesn't go up in value, because that makes paying back the yen loans more expensive and wipes out the spread that you earned on treasury bonds, and that Japanese interest rates don't go up to the point where they're comparable to US rates or Brazilian rates or German rates or whatever. And that makes the carry trade unprofitable. Well, the yen is still kind of falling a little bit, so that hasn't been satisfied yet, but Japanese interest rates are spiking. And largely that's because the Japanese government has so much debt that now people just don't want to lend it money by buying their bonds. So, for instance, the Japanese 10-year yield went from negative. In other words, the Japanese government made money by borrowing money back when you had to pay them for the privilege of owning their bonds. And now it's up to around 2%. And that's high enough to basically make the yen trade no longer viable. And that means the trillions, multi-trillions of dollars that are bet on the premise of the yen carry trade continuing to work now don't work anymore, you know, so they have to be refinanced at higher interest rates, or they have to just be cashed out or whatever. And that's potentially destabilizing for the whole global economy, because we don't know where that money is. We don't know who is over leveraged and therefore can't handle unwinding their part of the carry trade. So we're going to find out in the coming year. But right now, it's just this big, scary thing that's waiting to happen. So it's very possibly one of the headline stories for 2026.
Silver breaking above $60 wasn't just a price move. It was a signal. For decades, that $50 level acted like an invisible ceiling, holding back the market with wave after wave of suppression and doubt. But in late 2025, that barrier shattered. And when it did, the silver market changed forever. We're no longer dealing with hypothetical upside, we're watching it unfold in real time. With spot prices pushing into the low 60s, silver has already entered territory unseen since the Hunt Brothers era. And this time, it's not a squeeze driven by a couple of billionaires. It's global demand on every front lighting the fire. Institutional money is now stepping in. Funds that once ignored silver are allocating millions as a hedge against both inflation and currency collapse. Retail buyers are flooding the physical market, willing to pay steep premiums just to get their hands on coins and bars. Industrial users, solar, EV, AI tech manufacturers, are facing a new problem. Prices are running, and there's no pause in sight. They can't stop buying, and they can't switch materials. This demand is inelastic. That means even as prices rise, the buying pressure doesn't let up. If anything, it accelerates. The market is now caught in a self-feeding loop. Every uptick in price confirms the trend. Every new high draws in more buyers. And with trust in currencies collapsing, silver is being reevaluated not as a commodity, but as money itself. That's the shift. This isn't about playing a rally, it's about fleeing a fire. The financial system is becoming unrecognizable, and silver is emerging as one of the last honest assets left. And the data backs it up. Analysts who once predicted consolidation are now being forced to update their forecasts. Kitco and Metals Focus are hinting at even higher targets through 2026, while global supply remains flat. With prices staying firmly above $60, miners are printing cash, premiums are exploding, and a generational silver squeeze is starting to take shape. But here's the truth. If $60 silver is already causing this much disruption, what happens when the price hits $100? Or $200? Or even $500? Because if silver can stay above $60 with just a few structural cracks showing, imagine what happens when the whole system breaks.
The market goes up when that happens, yeah. And, two things. One is, whenever I mention miners, I always qualify it with high-quality miners because of what you said, because of the things Rick Rule was telling you. You want somebody who's capable of profiting from this kind of a market. And a high-quality miner who is continuing to produce at high levels and manage their costs, they tend to make a lot of money in this kind of an environment. Now, the other thing that's kind of tricky is, like you said, that anything with silver and gold in its name is likely to attract indiscriminate generalist money in this part of the process. And, you know, it's possible that the crappy miners will that are probably never going to actually turn a profit are going to go up more than the high-quality miners in percentage terms, because the unprofitable, not well-run miners are super cheap right now because none of the people who understand the industry want to buy them. But once you get people coming in saying, oh, that one's a silver miner, you know, and they just throw money at it, then you can see massive percentage gains in that kind of a stock. So I'm not saying go out and buy the beaten down names indiscriminately, because that might work for a year, but it also might fail at any time. So you always want to be in quality wherever you are, whatever sector you like. You want to buy the quality names, unless you're somebody like Rick Rule, who has been finding gems, you know, undiscovered gems for 30 or 40 years, and can do it in his sleep. You know, a regular person can't do that kind of analysis and make sense of it. Because, you know, how do you, sitting in Kansas City or someplace, judge a Yukon-based gold mine and, you know whether it's going to actually become a mine instead of just a few holes in the ground or whatever? You know, don't even try, because you'll be wrong so much of the time that you'll lose faith in yourself and it won't work. But on the other hand, buy the big names. You can... you know, somebody who doesn't want to do much work but wants to be exposed to the sector can just buy GDX or something like that. Just one of the big ETFs that buy the miners, and then just ride it. And you'll make you won't make as much as a portfolio of undiscovered gems, but you'll still get a big part of the overall move of the sector. And in this kind of a market, you know, with what's happening with gold and silver, 70% of the entire move is really nice. You know, that's a good thing to achieve. So don't be scared away by a lack of understanding of mining stocks. Just buy the ETFs that own them all already, you know, and then you're there. You're in this market.
The silver market isn't just rallying, it's running on empty. For four straight years, global silver demand has outpaced supply, and now the deficit is hitting critical levels. In 2024 alone, the world faced a 140 million ounce shortfall. That gap widened in 2025, and by all projections, it's only getting worse. Even with prices surging past $60, mine output has barely budged. Why? Because silver mining isn't a faucet you can just turn on. Most silver comes as a byproduct from lead, zinc, and copper operations, not dedicated silver mines. So even when prices explode, supply doesn't respond fast enough. That's the heart of the structural crisis. Meanwhile, industrial demand is accelerating at a pace the mining sector simply cannot match. Photovoltaic silver consumption jumped 17% in 2024 alone, reaching 190 million ounces. The EV industry is devouring another 75 million ounces annually, and that number is expected to exceed 90 million by 2026. Add in AI infrastructure, high-performance semiconductors, and exploding demand for silver jewelry in India, and what you get is a consumption curve that's going vertical. The result? Physical premiums are soaring, inventories are vanishing, and silver refiners are being pushed to their limits. On top of that, COMEX inventories have fallen to their lowest levels since 2016, dropping below 270 million ounces in late 2024. That's not just tight, it's dangerously tight. When you consider how many of those ounces are already spoken for, it becomes clear. The available float is a fraction of what the market believes. And now, with investment demand also climbing, up 12% year over year, there simply isn't enough silver to go around. This is the kind of supply crunch that doesn't resolve. It escalates. Because unlike oil or copper, silver can't be substituted in its most critical applications. That makes every ounce more precious, more essential, and more aggressively pursued. Industrial users are beginning to front-load orders. Investors are hoarding, and sovereign mints are scrambling to meet demand with limited feedstock. All of this while prices rise. That's not a bubble, that's a bottleneck. And when a commodity that's already in shortage becomes the target of a global flight to safety, that's when the squeeze turns into a frenzy. That's when price suppression breaks. That's when $60 becomes a memory and $500 enters the conversation.
And gold has been there for quite a while. Gold passed its inflation-adjusted all-time high just lately. So yeah, the precious metals as a concept have been discovered now. And it's safe to say that capital will keep flowing into them as long as governments continue to debase their currencies. And that's great for stackers. You know, if you have a bunch of physical gold and silver, you're feeling pretty smart right now and considerably richer than you were 5 years ago. But it's really good news for the gold and silver miners because to an extent, they're managing their costs now. So when gold and silver go up and their costs remain reasonably stable, their margins just blow out. So a lot of the gold and silver miners are making dramatically more money right now than they have been in the recent past. And they're just coming off three phenomenally good quarters. And we're almost done with the fourth quarter now, which is going to be the best quarter ever for gold and silver miners as a group. So in January and February, there are going to be a lot of earnings reports that come out that just look like blowouts. You know, it's not clear if people have come to expect those blowout numbers or not, whether there'll be pleasant surprises or not. But without a doubt, the numbers are going to be spectacular. So if people are out there looking at earnings momentum, which is it's one of the momentums that generalist investors pay attention to, there's going to be dramatic earnings momentum on the part of a lot of mining stocks out there. So I think there's a decent chance that the first part of 2026 is going to be one of the best times ever for the mining stocks. So we'll see. But I think this could be a lot of fun for people who are close to fully invested in the highest quality mining.
While Western economies scramble to defend their collapsing currencies, the BRICS nations have fired a shot straight at the heart of the dollar system. In late 2025, they launched the Unit, a partially gold-backed currency designed specifically to bypass the U.S. dollar in international trade. Backed 40% by gold and 60% by a basket of member currencies, the Unit isn't just another experiment. It's a declaration of war against the existing financial order. And while gold is the clear centerpiece, silver is being pulled into the spotlight as the secondary monetary metal in this new multipolar world. The implications are enormous. BRICS central banks are already loading up on physical bullion, with gold reserves increasing by over 350 tons in 2024 alone. Russia and China have even established cross-border settlement systems anchored to gold pricing, cutting the dollar out entirely. But here's where it gets interesting. As this gold-backed system gains traction, it doesn't just lift gold. It reignites the ancient pairing of gold and silver as stores of value outside of sovereign control. And in a world rapidly de-dollarizing, silver stands to benefit not just from monetary panic, but from systemic realignment. This isn't just symbolic. When 33% of global gold consumption shifts its gaze toward alternative pricing systems, it undermines the dollar's monopoly on commodity valuation. That opens the door for silver to reprice in real terms, terms no longer dictated by Western financial repression. And while initial analysts downplayed the unit's launch, market behavior is telling a different story. Trust in fiat is evaporating, demand for bullion is skyrocketing, and physical delivery systems are starting to feel the strain. Even UBS has admitted the psychological impact is already changing behavior. Once nations begin to settle trade outside of the dollar, confidence in non-backed paper currencies begins to dissolve, and silver, with its deep roots as sound money, starts to reclaim its historical role. It's not just a hedge, it's a statement. And that's the silent detonation happening beneath the surface. The BRICS move isn't just about shifting power, it's about shifting trust. And as that trust moves away from debt-backed currencies and toward real assets, silver becomes far more than a commodity. It becomes the escape valve for a world that no longer believes in the system.
Yeah, the whole world is rediscovering precious metals. You know, gold and silver have outperformed the S&P 500 for the past 25 years, for the, you know, so far in this century. They are better assets than blue chip stocks. And that's the kind of thing that gets a lot of people's attention, right? You know, if you're a momentum trader or just any kind of generalist investor, you see that kind of price action over an extended period of time and you have to pay attention. So all kinds of positive things are happening for precious metals. The central banks of the world are still buying. India is now, or starting in 2026, it's going to allow people to use silver jewelry as collateral for loans as a way of, you know, getting that stored money out of people's vaults and closets or wherever and circulating into the economy. And the BRICS countries just literally released a currency that is backed by gold. So stuff is happening. Oh, and crypto has discovered gold. You got the big crypto companies like Tether, which create meme coins. Is that what they're called?
Stable coins.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Who do that? And they're choosing gold as one of the assets that they use to back their coins. And Tether has now bought so much gold that it is in the category of a small to medium sized central bank. And that's just them. That's just one crypto company. And the concept of gold coins that trade on a blockchain is really appealing to a lot of people in the crypto market. And there's a ton of money in the crypto market. So wherever you look, there is capital flowing into precious metals. And like you mentioned, silver just, it blew through 50 not that long ago, and now it's trading a little above $60 an ounce. So we're getting up into nominal all-time record high prices for silver.
Every major currency on the planet is now locked in a death spiral. From the dollar to the euro, the yen to the yuan, the same pattern is playing out. Endless debt, artificial growth, and a central bank trapped between inflation and collapse. Governments are drowning in obligations they can't pay. Interest expenses are ballooning. And the only remaining solution is the same one they always reach for: print more money. But this time, the magic trick isn't working. Inflation is no longer transitory. Confidence is cracking. And the belief that fiat money holds real value is unraveling before our eyes. The U.S. alone is running trillion-dollar deficits annually, with debt levels soaring past $35 trillion. Japan is imploding under its own monetary policy, forced to allow yields to rise after decades of suppression. Even Europe, long seen as a model of financial stability, is now openly debating debt monetization just to stay afloat. This isn't policy, it's desperation. And as each central bank leans harder into stimulus, the currency they issue becomes weaker, less trusted, and more fragile. This is why precious metals are surging. Not just because investors want protection, but because they're fleeing currencies that are visibly dying. Silver, in particular, offers something unique. It's small enough to move fast, it's scarce enough to squeeze, and it's liquid enough to serve as real money when everything else is melting down. The moment people realize that their dollars, euros, or yen are just digital promises backed by nothing, they start looking for what's real. And silver is still within reach for the average person. But that window is closing. Silver is no longer just an inflation hedge. It's becoming a survival hedge. It's a bet against the credibility of governments who've printed themselves into insolvency. It's a lifeboat in a storm of currency devaluation, and the flood of capital chasing this lifeboat is only growing. That's why we're seeing unprecedented premiums, collapsing inventories, and mounting pressure on futures markets. Trust in fiat is dying, and that trust doesn't come back. This is what happens when every central bank runs the same failed playbook. Eventually, the illusion breaks, and when it does, people don't wait to be told what's safe. They rush toward what they know has value. That's not a trend. That's a flight. And silver is where it's landing.
Yeah, I'm at rubino.substack.com, and I'm looking for actionable ideas for what is probably going to be a very chaotic decade. So it's not just investing, although that's a big part of it. You know, commodities companies just look great, and they're a good way to protect yourself against chaos in the financial markets. But there's an awful lot of lifestyle things that go along with being prepared for chaos, because you want to be thinking in terms of resilience. And financially, that means gold and silver, physical gold and silver, and then the mining stocks. But you also want to make yourself indispensable at work, find a way to maybe grow part of your food. There's a thousand things on that list that fall under the heading of prepping. And you want to stay as healthy as possible. You know, all of the rest of this stuff does not matter in the least if you're sick. So it's crucially important to do the things that keep you up and around and thriving physically. And that's a small but consequential part of the stuff that I write about. So yeah, it's turned out to be a lot of fun because it's a very interesting community that's kind of sprung up around that newsletter.
A $500 silver price might sound insane until you realize it's not just possible, it's inevitable. Everything we've discussed leads to one unavoidable conclusion. Silver isn't climbing because of hype. It's exploding because the very foundations of the financial system are breaking beneath our feet. The carry trade is unwinding. Global liquidity is vanishing. Fiat currencies are imploding, and a monetary alternative is rising in the East. At the same time, physical silver is vanishing from inventories. Industrial demand is accelerating, and supply cannot catch up. In that environment, price isn't driven by speculation. It's driven by survival. This is what a real breakout looks like. Not a spike, not a squeeze, but a sustained repricing of an asset the world can no longer ignore. We've already watched silver shoot past $60. That alone has upended the market. Now imagine what happens when confidence in fiat collapses further. When investors realize the dollar isn't coming back. When institutions start allocating just 1% of their portfolios to silver. When physical shortages force price discovery into the open. In that world, $100 silver is the floor, not the ceiling. And the speed of this move will shock people. Silver doesn't grind upward, it slingshots. We've seen it before, and we're seeing the setup again. Except this time, the forces behind it aren't cyclical, they're existential. Currencies are being destroyed, trust is being vaporized, and silver is reemerging not just as a hedge, but as a monetary reset button. So if you're still wondering whether $500 silver is just a fantasy, look around. The systems we once believed were stable are falling apart. And in the wreckage, silver is the signal. It's the truth the market is screaming, and soon it'll be impossible to ignore. If you value this kind of insight and want to stay ahead of the financial reset, make sure to subscribe and follow this journey in real time. And remember, this isn't financial advice. Speak to a qualified professional before making any investment decisions.